The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You know what I thought I would do for you here today? I thought I would tell you about the first reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, because for the next 2 weeks, your first reading is going to be 2 Corinthians. And you know, Paul is hard to understand because Paul doesn't tell stories like the Gospels do. Paul teaches theology, but it can be a lot easier to understand Paul's theology if you know a little bit of the story behind the letter. So that's what I would like to try to help you to understand. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians is one of the hardest letters to summarize in the whole Bible. But if I could put it simply, this is how I would do it. Paul's trying to do two things in 2 Corinthians. He's trying to defend himself against a group of accusers, and he's trying to reconcile himself with the people of Corinth. Here's the backstory on the letter. Okay, Corinth is a city that's to the south of Athens in Greece. And Paul only goes to Corinth because he was an absolute flop trying to preach the gospel in Athens. Paul went to Athens and he told them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, these students of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, told them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and they laughed out loud at Paul. And so shamefacedly, Paul travels on to the next town, goes to the town of Corinth. Well, Corinth is a seedy port town, town filled with bars and prostitutes. Not exactly the kind of place you'd imagine the gospel was going to catch on, but much to everybody's surprise, Paul is a huge success in Corinth, and he develops this great reputation. There's a funny thing about a reputation. Once it starts to roll, people start to kick it around, don't they? So a group of people come and they accuse St. Paul, a group of angry Corinthians, and they say, "You're not a real apostle. You're not one of the 12. You don't have any authority. Your words don't have any value." And they physically attacked Paul and drove him out of town. And this is why Paul writes 2 Corinthians, to defend himself against his accusers and to reconcile himself with the people. So one of the things that the accusers said of St. Paul in Corinth is that Paul was a lousy public speaker. It's kind of hard to imagine St. Paul being a lousy public speaker, okay? But his accusers were professional rhetoricians, professional public speakers with some kind of a diploma, like some kind of ancient diploma for their speaking skills. And so what Paul does, and here's what you heard in your first reading, is that he goes back and he references Moses from the Old Testament. Hopefully you're still staying with me on this, but I do have a point after all this. He references Moses back in the Old Testament. And do you remember that Moses was a lousy public speaker? A lot of people forget. Moses had a speech impediment. And God called Moses to be his prophet. And Moses tried to weasel out of the deal. And Moses said to God, "You got the wrong guy. I've got no skill." And God said to Moses, "I've got the right guy. I don't need your skill." And that's what St. Paul says to the Corinthians. He says, "I might be unskilled, but God still works through me. I might be unskilled. You know, the Greek word for unskilled is idiotes, from which we get our word idiot. And so what Paul says back to his accusers is, I might be an idiot, but God does more through my idiocy than through your diploma. Grace is far more important than skill. And that's the message of the first reading to each of us here today. Now, don't get me wrong, skill matters. And effort definitely matters. But God's work is not hindered in the slightest by your human weakness. How many times have you had a difficult conversation with a family member? Maybe it's a child, maybe it's a relative. And you try to find the right words to have this difficult conversation, and you know it's going to be really painful, right? And you do your best. You have the very best conversation you possibly can have, and it's a complete flop, and they're angry with you, and you're saying to yourself, I'm such an idiot. Don't worry. God works through idiots every day. His grace and his power and his plan doesn't depend on your skill. If you've given him your best, that's all he needs to work. I was talking with a priest once, and he said, I was so absolutely exhausted, and I didn't have anything left to give, totally worn out, and had this big presentation that I had to give. So I said a prayer, and I said, Lord, I don't have anything left to give. And he says, my response came back, Jesus said, just give them me. That's all they need anyway. Sometimes you go to confession and you don't know the right words to say, and you try to find the right words, and you walk out of confession and you say, oh, I didn't say it correctly. As if God's grace depends on your proper execution of precise verbiage. It doesn't. Give him your best, but understand, your weakness or your fatigue does not in the slightest inhibit God's good work. Just a little message now that you can take out of 2 Corinthians, not only today, but every day that you hear this. Look less to yourself and more to God's grace. God is at work, even when you feel like an idiot. Amen.